This is the Travel Angel Radio Show, the only locally broadcast originated travel show here in Hawaii. And I'm always happy to see Kathy Takushi from Captivating Journeys. You look absolutely lovely today.
Thank you.
You were at a special celebration, huh?
Yeah, I'm on the board of the Academy of Hospitality and Tourism, which is a board that helps the high school kids. There's Baldwin, Lahaina Luna, and Maui High for kids that want to go into the hospitality or tourism business or track when they continue on to college. So today was their graduation at Maui College. And our intern, I'm happy to say, received one of the scholarships.
And what's her name again?
Charmaine Domingo.
Charmaine, congratulations. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. She got a scholarship. She's been working with you for about a year now, right?
In January, I think. Uh-huh. Yeah. So wonderful. And tomorrow's her last day, so we'll miss her.
Oh, really? Yeah. You're going to have to get another one.
Yeah, we've got another one lined up.
Oh, okay. Once you get used to your interns, you can't even. And we're also going to be talking to Steve and Doreen Horton and
Holton,
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Holton. And also, we've got in studio my dear friend Christine Wong, who will talk about her trip to Mexico. But first, there's a lot of, gosh, you can't listen to a newscast these days, Kathy, without some story about travel.
Yeah.
It's getting like it's part of every single newscast. Now, the biggest concern I have is the latest story is that they're going to take that ban they had against the Muslim countries, people not being allowed to take their laptop. And now they're going to say they're going to expand it into all European flights coming into the United States. But obviously, anyone coming from the United States to Europe is going to take a European flight back out. I can't imagine any other way. But if they indeed tell you, and this isn't, folks, we got to realize they're saying anything bigger than a cell phone, which would then include Kindles, iPads, laptops, obviously. And I just cannot even imagine how this would work. And just in this last newscast, evidently, this is the big news scandal is that President Trump was talking about this to Putin in their last meeting just the other day. So, not Putin, but the Russian ambassador. So, it's not going away. This is going to be a huge story, I think, for ways to come because it's going to affect people. And if they're angry people already about things like taking your cake away on board, if you try taking someone's computer away, those are fighting words. That is like people are going to get extremely upset if they can't fly with their Kindle. All my books are on my Kindle. What would that mean? I can't even comprehend it.
You have to bring a hardcover, a real book.
You know how heavy those are? Oh, my gosh.
I haven't moved into the Kindle world. I still bring a real
book. You don't use a Kindle? Oh, for traveling, they're really handy.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, it's going to be very interesting. And the latest other story was a cake leads to removal from a plane. And this happened, I guess, in New York. But I don't know. Some of these kind of make me think that the people wanted attention. It was on a JetBlue Airways. And these people were celebrating a birthday in Nevada, flying to Nevada, and they brought a cake. And the problem came is they put the cake in the special bin, which is for emergency overhead information. And then they refused to take it out. And then there was that he made a big mistake telling the flight attendant that he wondered if the attendant had been drinking, and then it got into yelling, and then it got into swearing, and then the pilot came out and said, "You're out, and so is your cake." So there you go. And here I am talking about a stupid story like that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do? It's going to happen. And I think sometimes people actually like the idea of that these things make news, and then they
and
hopefully,
it goes viral. And,
maybe they get money back, right?
Yeah.
Which is possible. You never know. Well, hey, we're going to cover, there's some really, really amazing Kama Aina discounts that are happening with Paul Gauguin. And we have been waiting breathlessly for these special deals to come back. We kind of had taken them for granted. And then they went away. And we were just like, what do you mean we can't get our Kama Aina rate going to Tahiti? But just before you took off to Florence and everything, the special Kama Aina rates came back on Paul Gauguin.
They did. They came out with some dates for January, February, and March of next year, just on the 7-night sailing. So I wouldn't wait because everybody's been waiting, so they might go
You've
away.
Sold some already,
mm-hmm.
right?
We yeah. have, yeah. So.
I want to go.
I do, too.
I want to go in the October or November. I do. I want to go.
Yeah.
I mean, I miss it, right? I mean,
it's selling fast.
I yeah. know it is. Yeah. So you better jump on that. I know you send it out to people on your email list, but there's some people listening that may not be on your email list. So how can they get the information, Kathy?
So they can go on our website at captivatingjourneys.com. There's a link for the prices and the sale dates, or they can call us at 808-244-1414 or email us at info@captivatingjourneys.com.
244-1414 if you're old-fashioned like me and still like to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
I know these days it's almost like you're considered rude if you actually call someone, or you have to get a permission by texting them and say, can you talk? Do you
no,
find that?
The Holtons are, they that's how they like to work.
I like yes. to yeah. work there too. Yay
yeah, they call
on you.
And they come in.
Yes.
Because some
yeah.
people just like these days, especially, you know, kids, even my daughter,
uh-huh.
she won't talk on the phone. Oh, well, she did, yes. She called me for Mother's Day. But other than that, it's all texting.
Yeah.
You know, and or now sometimes it's just messaging, you know, private message
right.
from Facebook. But yeah. I like talking, and that's one of the great things about having a travel agent, is you can still call and talk to a person and have them help you with some of these rather tricky navigating the waters of what's going on in the world with, mm-hmm. with travel.
Yeah.
So let's talk now. Give us a little story of how you connected with Steve and Doreen about this latest trip.
Well, they did an Oceania cruise last year.
Yes.
And you did, Tina booked it, so I'm just going off memory here.
Good.
So they went out of Miami last
yes.
year, and they loved it so much, they did it again. Or something
yes.
similar, right?
It was kind of the same cruise. It was the Western Caribbean,
mm-hmm.
and they got changed last minute. So they had offered us Cuba for 2 days.
For you.
And how could we not go to Cuba?
I want to go to Cuba.
Oceania Cruises.
Oceania.
Oh. Which they love.
Uh-huh. I do too.
So we took advantage of that, and we just came back a couple months ago, and Cuba was fascinating.
Wow. And you know what? They're doing one I'm thinking of. I think Oceania's doing it again.
Yes.
In December.
I think so. December.
It's November, December.
I think it's a 7-day kind
yeah.
of around Cuba
yeah.
with a stop in, I'm trying to think. Give me a moment. Key West. I think it stops in Key West and then mm-hmm. does just a circle around Cuba, which I think would be fascinating because mm-hmm. we were in Havana, and what happened was Tina, of course, Kathy's partner and buddy down there, when the change got made, of course, there were shore excursions that opened up, and we were able to sit down with her, and like we had a vintage car for
oh, yeah?
and a driver for, I think it was, 6 hours that took us all around Havana, and we went to the Buena Vista Cafe.
Oh, you did? That's so famous.
Oh,
wow.
Yes. And we went to the social club, nightclub that
That's
evening.
Where that movie was shot,
yes,
right?
Yes, any rate. So it was really somewhat like you feel like you're traveling in time because
mm-hmm.
the whole system there is very just people to people. There's not a lot of, like in some places where, you know, oh, here come the tourists. Well, now what's going to happen? It's always, you know, if you want to buy cigars and you want to buy rum, you go to the government store and the prices are fixed. And it's just very...
Mm-hmm.
practical, and I don't know, we had a wonderful time.
And the second day we went to a farm to table luncheon.
Where?
Outside of Havana, maybe an hour
drive. In a farm area.
And it was a 32-acre farm that was managed by 22 people, 7 were women, and we arrived and they had us go to the little patio and they gave us all the fruit that they grow there. And then they started and gave us a tour of the farm. And they have rabbits, goats, sheep, and
Pigs.
Cattle. And they also make their own cheese, which was incredible.
And did they give you the cheese for lunch? Did you have that
yes.
Oh, everything.
Oh, yes.
I should give people a little warning that We're talking to someone who's been a pastry chef at some of the top restaurants on Maui. You worked at which hotels as a pastry
Maui
chef?
Prince. I worked at the Kapalua Bay Hotel and Intercontinental.
And so you know your food.
Yes.
But I'm but did you tell them you were a
No.
Okay. You didn't intimidate them. Okay.
But the food on the Oceana is exceptional.
I think so, too. Which is your favorite restaurant?
We like the Grand Dining Room overall, but the Toscana was
that's
excellent.
The Italian one. Did you like the
we
back?
We had gnocchi, and it was they cooked it, and they brought it out in the copper pot that they cooked it.
Oh, really?
And they served it to you.
Now, on that one, did they bring you did they have the olive oil?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
They
the
come
choices
with
of the olive
cart,
oil?
And they
yes.
offer you different varieties. And
which is nice.
It was just incredible.
Yeah, and good bread.
Yes. Every time they come in, we talk about the butter.
The butter.
They use French butter, and the flour is from France.
Wow.
And so, I mean, the croissants.
The flour's from France.
They're flour's from France, yeah.
How do you know that?
We asked.
Oh, okay. I never would have thought of asking. Where did your flour come from?
I mean, the croissants, when they're so flaky.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they're crumbs all over the plate, and it's such a pleasure to enjoy that. I mean,
and this coming from a pastry chef, so there you go. What
and
a
I get
great.
I get to cruise with him, and I always tell people, I say, what I really enjoy. I mean, I love Oceana, I love the places we go, but I love sitting at meals across from him and watching him enjoy everything so much because not only knows that what it takes to make something like this, but he also knows what it takes to get a result like this. And the fact that the kitchen, the culinary staff, the whole management of the cruise line, everything is made and presented for you, which is not totally a very unique experience,
well,
I think, in cruising.
Just thinking that they go to the trouble of getting the flour from France.
Oh, yeah.
And
well,
this was in, you're cruising the Caribbean.
And yeah, and Jacques Pepin is the master chef for it's one of the few cruise lines. I think you can explain
They actually built the kitchen around the ship.
The ship was built around the kitchen.
First, and the food is first.
Yeah,
and you just can't go wrong with that. And the detail. When I look at a dessert, I look at how many steps it takes to make that dessert.
You know? It's so much fun.
It's detail.
It's so much
and
fun.
I mean, it's just incredible. We'd order petit four tray, and it would come with maybe 10 different items, and each one is made separately.
I'm getting hungry listening to you.
But all of a sudden,
I'm just beginning to imagine, because I did a cruise with my friend Christine here in Oceania. Yeah. We'd have, and even at lunches, it's not like it's just like one, but you can have these amazing lunches and dinners, right? So tell me a little, let's just take a trip back to the trip. So you leave from Florida, then you go, the first stop is Cuba?
On the cruise we were on, the first stop was Costa Maya. But we couldn't go into that port, so we went to
Costa Maya is near below Cancun,
yes,
correct?
But instead we went to Cozumel, so that was our first stop.
And that's a special spot.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And then the next stop was Belize. And in Belize, they took us to Harvest Key, which is a key that's kind of operated by Norwegian Cruise Line. And they've opened up these private cabanas, I have to use the right word. And so we rented a cabana for the day, and it was unbelievable. I mean, we had our own stretch of beach. There was very few other cabanas there. There was food. Of course, you see, it's us. We're talking food and fresh fruits and service. And we had like our own butler, and it was just a kick. Wow. We'd never signed up for anything like this before. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And we had our own private beach.
And our own private.
So for them, it's also good because it's safe. They don't have to worry about anything,
exactly.
Right? Because it's their protection.
And they have a lifeguard, and you know, and they're checking in on you, so they're making sure you're not sitting out in the sun too long and all that. Mm-hmm. But
I think our trip to the Caribbean, but you never had any. I didn't feel fearful of anything.
Right.
It was just warm and loving.
Yeah.
And now let's back up to the cruise, the port before. Did you get to see any of the, isn't that the Mayan Peninsula? I'm sorry, my phone's going off. I'll turn it down there.
No, it's okay.
It's all the stuff going on with, how about Russia and Trump? So did that one, wasn't there the ancient
That's in Costa Maya, I believe.
Well, that's Costa Maya.
Yeah,
okay.
Cozumel doesn't have it. It has more. It's mostly beach and some shopping and of course sightseeing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very. We went there before. We actually had somebody take us to one of their favorite places, a little resort type hotel. And I don't know. It's just like we said. We feel really comfortable just getting off the ship and saying, oh, you know, we kind of want to go here. And then the gentleman will say, you know, but I know this really nice place. I take my family there. Why don't we go there? And we'll just say yes. And it's always turned out to be very, very positive experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So the big thing, of course, and again, I'm thinking of doing this cruise to Cuba. And I think it's the end of November, maybe beginning of December. But I've been, you know, we've talked how many times, Kathy, about Cuba, right?
Yeah,
we've talked about. I do want to go. Mm-hmm. I do. And my biggest decision is, do I want to go on a cruise or do I want to try to book a
land.
A land. But, I mean, sometimes in this, it's good to go first on a cruise and get the lay of the land, right?
I think the thing that's really important with Cuba, too, I mean, at least for Havana, and again, we're only there 2 days, the currency situation. People get very confused about the Cuban currency. And so what happens is if you're using American dollars and you get off the cruise ship and everything's explained, there's a cambio, an exchange desk right there, lots of times people will exchange a lot of American dollars. And the thing is, if you're not there very long, you can't exchange those dollars back.
Oh.
It's a one-way. So
wow.
But the other thing that happens, and we'd read about this before going, is that if you have, like, our bank doesn't charge us to buy euros. If you buy euros and exchange euros for the Cuban currency, the CUC, you avoid, American money is penalized on the exchange. So there's, you know, a regular exchange thing plus a penalty. So when we were there, people, it was almost like maybe 14-15% less. So if we had the euro, we exchange it to CUCs, which is their currency, it was a direct exchange.
Really?
Yeah, it was no penalty.
Isn't that interesting?
And go to your bank and say, you know, I want to buy some euros. Or if you're at the airport, you buy a few euros. And
I want to know your bank because my bank charges me for euros.
Bank of Hawaii.
Okay, that's good to know. First Hawaiian definitely charges for euros.
Okay.
I'm
not trying to give a commercial.
No, I mean, but I'm it's glad to hear that because I get a pretty hefty charge to get euros.
So that's what we did was we were able to, you know, then just, we didn't buy a whole bunch of, you know, CUCs because, you know, you can't exchange.
You don't, you're not going to spend a lot of money there, but you did have to pay. You wanted to give a tip to your driver, right?
There's tipping is really not considered important there, but
really?
Because the wage is so low,
yeah,
it just seemed kind of for us. It was organic to the guy who drove us. You know, he was wonderful. We got to meet his brother. We took us through. I mean, it was great.
What kind of car did you drive in?
Old Ford,
1951.
A convertible Ford convertible.
I counted on an average, if you counted 20 cars, 15 of them were classic cars. Ah. But you have to realize they're not all in mint condition, but there are some that are beautiful. Mm-hmm. But
their
resources to rebuild the cars, they just don't have the money. Havana, there's 2.5 million people that live in the city, and only there's 80% don't have the ability to have a car.
Boy, if they wanted to sell them, those classic cars are popular here on Maui. If they could get them here on Maui, they'd make some money, wouldn't they?
But, you know, they actually, in some of the cars, they have gone and taken engines from boats that have been salvaged.
Really?
I mean, it's not like it's a classic in the sense that they've had to take and used what they have to make things work.
Can't even imagine that.
We went on a horse and buggy ride.
Uh-huh.
And maybe Steve can explain it, but
the
runners.
Step up was part of a fender. It flattened out and you could walk on it.
Wow.
But they're very resourceful. They just don't have the money, so they do the best that they can.
So I was told, in fact, it was on the show we did here, Kathy, about how music is just happening everywhere in the streets. They both hold their heart at the same time there.
Even when we went to the farm the luncheon, they brought in a group and they played for 45 minutes.
Wow.
Cuban music, and everybody was up and dancing.
Okay. Wow.
And then the Buena Vista, that was a 2-hour show. and it was nonstop. And they had
it
probably
wonderful.
12 to 15 dancers that danced, and they changed clothes and
their costumes, yeah. And the musicality. Okay, so you know how we have TSA, which, you know, is very important. Okay, so you get off the cruise ship, and you have to go through a security system, okay? And there's, you know, of course, there's passport, and, you know, everybody's kind of like, ooh.
Is there a visa?
You have to have a visa, yes. Mm-hmm. And the visa we had was...
Was that through the ship?
Yes. Actually, Tina applied for the visa, but we got it, you know, through the cruise line. And so you have the visa... You know, of course, they take your picture on your first exit, your first entry into Havana. And then they have a deal, you know, where you have to be scanned and your stuff has to go through.
Mm-hmm.
But at that part of the harbor, there is the most liveliest music being played.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's recorded, but you aren't immediately. Mm-hmm. You're like, wow. You know, and the women that were handling, you know, your luggage that was going through, they were all kind of dancing with a wonderful groove. And then you go down to get on your bus to go to your, you know, your activity. And there's music everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's...
I'd love that. I mean, I really like that idea that would really be something enjoyable to me. Now, after your 2 days, did you feel like you wanted more time? Did you feel like you just kind of wish you'd had another couple days?
I'd love to
days?
Go back. I'd love to go back.
Yeah. And would you do it with the cruise or would you do it on your own?
The cruise is excellent. I mean... How can you go wrong with the food? Mm-hmm. And you just take your luggage and you unload and you live there.
But you don't have as much time as you might want.
But, you know, but when it's like when you're there for 2 days and a night, and then the night that we left, we didn't leave until 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, so you had
it was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a lot of time. And I mean.
So you did two excursions in a day?
Yes.
Three?
No, two.
Two. In one day.
On the first day, and then the second day was the luncheon.
Uh-huh.
And then we also did, we just sort of did sightseeing and rode a horse and buggy around the town, and it was great. It was just great.
Did you get to see that old hotel, the famous hotel, which is that big, big one there?
Everything is old.
Yeah, that's a good
point. Yeah. And the Viejo is been reconstructed, and they painstakingly painted it, but the buildings are very old, and it's this. I mean, you just sense that feeling that when you get there, you know, the restoration will be forever. And tourism is new to.
Lot of other tourists there in town? Were you, of course, you're seeing the people from your ship cruise, but others, independent travelers and things.
You see tourists. I mean, the Europeans and the Canadians have been able to go to Cuba.
Yeah,
it's just it's new for Americans or people traveling. You know, on a cruise ship or something. I mean, we left, there was another cruise ship that had come into town as well. But I don't know, you know, I think they were a European cruise line. I'm not sure. I wasn't familiar with it.
So I imagine the people were very excited about being able to have this extra income and see the tourists. You probably were pretty excited about that.
Yes. I mean, our driver on the car had work on a cruise ship.
Oh.
And he goes, you know, I had to make a decision.
Yeah.
You know, I could be on the cruise ship, but make money, and I was away from my family. So I had to make a decision. And it was family first.
Yeah.
It's always family first.
Yeah.
And
it's a funny thing because you go to buy souvenirs, and everything you touch is made in Cuba, whether it's a fan.
Interesting point.
Or a Che Guevara.
Not made in China.
Everything is made there. So little jewelry. I mean, there's not, I mean, and again, I mean, I am not a cigar smoker, but seeing how they make the cigars and what the significance is, I mean, it's just amazing. And then the rum, I mean, we were told that we went to this one place, it was in the afternoon, it was a cafe and it was a part of our tour. And we went up to this cafe and I walked in there and I went, oh my goodness, the music is so loud. Mm-hmm. And then I had a Cuban Libre. And the music was just right. So, you know, rum and coke, you know. Yeah. I was like, wow, this is the right beat.
Now, do they allow you, can you use credit cards or not use credit cards?
No.
When you can't use credit cards.
No
I kind of heard that was in process. Have you heard about that, Kathy, what the story is
I knew
that?
Credit cards, yeah, you can't use.
You can't
use. It may change. Things may change because even at the government rum shop and cigar shop, the day before you couldn't use any dollars, and on that day they said they had a gentleman there that was monitoring, was going, they were accepting some dollars. So
how much did you change for your 2 days there?
$200.
And you didn't have an overage? You didn't have.
We did have a. That's why we went on a carriage ride.
We had money left over.
Smart.
We went on a carriage ride.
Yeah. With,
we said, we have this many cukes left. Would you?
And it's called cukes. So you spell C?
C-U-C, cukes.
Cukes.
Because there's the peso. There's the Cuban peso, which is what the Cubans use for shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cukes are tourist dollars.
Well, Kathy, I want to go on the one that's coming up. It's Oceana, but it's later this year. It's either late November or December. I think it's December. Do you remember
what
we were talking about the other day, Kathy?
December.
It's December.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I want to go on
December,
that one. So,
right.
Yeah. I definitely want to check that one out. It sounds like fun.
And bring your dancing shoes.
And it is, I think, 2 days in Cuba.
I haven't looked at that itinerary, but yeah. There's two kind of schools of thought, like the cruise,
mm-hmm.
and then there's also the land, but I've heard that it's, if you go there, it's, everybody thinks Cuba is cheap, but it's actually not.
It's not.
It's expensive. Mm, so,
really?
And then
well,
I've
heard they've raised the rates for hotels.
Yeah.
I've heard more than 100% up in the last year. So when they found out that tourism was coming, the hotels jacked the prices up immediately.
But all the tours we did was with Oceana.
Mm-hmm.
So
you don't have to worry about that.
So like if we were at a place, there would be the tapas and the drinks were all be included.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you wanted to order an extra something, they would say, oh, no, that's okay, yeah. But then we would, of course, tip. So the money was just for, and to buy CDs, of mm-hmm. course. But
okay, it's a good Cuban.
And cigars and rum, you know.
Yeah, the average.
But things are expensive. Yeah. If you stay at a resort.
It's not cheap.
It's not cheap.
Yeah.
It's a classic resort type setup, in other words, yeah.
So I guess it depends on the experience that you
want. So you really would get a better deal doing a cruise than going on your own.
And then I think the comfort level, too, is...
It can be very hot.
Mm-hmm, you come back to your nice stateroom on the ocean.
Yes.
With
your bath salts.
Our tour group that we went on was 20 people.
Oh, that's great.
And we had probably 3 interpreters. And they
totally
were
guided, totally mm-hmm. supported.
Mm-hmm. Well, I heard just in a story in the news just 2 or 3 weeks ago saying that they had added all these flights and everything was like ready for it, but then people weren't booking it as much, so they actually just cut back some flights.
Yeah,
Had you heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Which surprised me because there's been such interest. But why? I don't know why. I mean, some people said they were nervous about what might happen with Trump's presidency and if they might change the rules
too.
But I mean, I was like, really? They're going to have to cut back the flights? Because, you know, the big push was like, oh my God, we got to get more flights. Everyone wants to go to Cuba, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like all of a sudden there was not the amount of people they expected. But then part of the thing is just like what you said, Kathy. I mean, if people are going now and they're thinking, oh, I can get a great deal, like we're talking about Mexico. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they're seeing the price is equal to going to Europe or something at the hotels. I don't know, were the restaurants, could you see, were they expensive or were they cheap?
I would say the restaurants, especially right in the area in Havana that we got to explore, the prices were pretty much, what kind of an average price. It wasn't...
Really? It wasn't a steal?
No, because again, everything in Cuba is either shipped in, like how we do in Hawaii, or they have to grow it. And because their farming methods, we were trying to explain, everything is organic there because mm-hmm. they can't afford to buy pesticides to poison the food. So everything, the presentation of food is not huge plates of food. It's just very simple, but very delicious, wonderful food. The fresh fish is beautiful, but... you're not going to a place where, you're going to get more than what you can, than what you expect, because it's a country that the people make equivalent of 30 cukes a month.
Wow.
A month.
And
what
a cuke
is that is that in U.S. dollars?
Well, you could maybe say in U.S. dollars, probably about maybe... $35, $40
a month.
Wow.
A month.
And like he
so
said,
if you give a gentleman a tip of 30 cukes, that's gold. That's mm-hmm. gold. And we did that to our driver, and he goes, I'll take you anywhere you want to go.
I'll come back. Give me
a call. I will take you.
Wow. Yeah, well, you won't charge you anything. And we were just like so overwhelmed because he was so... because everybody was like, people, they're not going to speak English. People get a little fearsome. They're afraid. But here we have this driver who is just, I mean, he was so wonderful and so giving of his time. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a small thing. It was hot and it was sunny. We get to Revolution Square. We have a convertible. He puts an umbrella over the car seat so they're not hot for us. I mean, it was tuck and roll upholstery, so maybe he was protecting his upholstery. But it was, I mean, it just seems like a... Uh-huh. Yeah. Other people didn't have that. We're yeah. like, oh my goodness, yeah, what a nice guy, George.
Yeah. Oh, you remember his name even. Isn't
oh,
that
yeah.
sweet?
He was, it was very, and he was willing to do whatever we wanted.
So you want to go back again?
No, I'd love to.
Yeah.
I mean, the people were so warm.
And you obviously are devoted to Oceania Cruises.
Yeah. What's our gonna third cruise? We've done the Riviera and Marina mm-hmm. twice. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm.
You've done I've done the Riviera twice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were landed in Roatan, and we had arrived early in the morning, 8 o'clock, and then we went on our tour, and we came back midday to get back on our ship, and Norwegian Cruise Line had pulled up, and there was 3,000 people mm. on that ship getting off to go do their thing. So Marina was 1,200.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
it's a little more low-key. Yeah. And
the way they schedule, I mean, I think it was like mid-afternoon, so here we are leaving. We were at French Key, pretty much had it to ourselves, snorkeling the whole deal. And, you know, if you were there later that afternoon with these other people, you would
be a whole
been,
city. Yeah.
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 We've done other larger ships, and we've downsized
yeah,
to
Yeah, we did Celebrity a couple times was larger. But the one we're doing in August is Serena, and that's like 600.
Mm-hmm, 650. Yeah.
Exciting. Yeah, you have to tell us how that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, but, I mean, the downside is I hear the rooms or suites are smaller because it's a smaller ship.
It's smaller ship.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
So it will be interesting because I've only done the larger, well, larger being 1,000, 1,200 of the Oceania, which was the Riviera twice, which
and,
was
you
nice.
You know, I do want to just say one thing about Oceania, and this is such a, it's a small thing, but I think it's huge. You can go to walk to the Grand Dining Room and walk past Martinis, and there's Picassos on the wall.
Yeah, I've seen that. There's one right by the woman's bathroom.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like, what? Were you hiding it by the woman's bathroom?
That's a pretty daring one, I must say, but probably appropriate. But it amazes me, you know, mm-hmm. the quality of the art just on the cruise line. It's just, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, well, I'm really glad. I mean, I'd love to hear, this is really what we do on the show, is we love to talk about these kind of things. Because when I hear your stories, it gives me the information one-on-one that I want to know about, you know, and again, makes me want to sign up for that one in December. Because, you know, this way, you know, I'm going, well, should I do this way or this way? But again, this way I'm going, oh, yeah, I want to do the cruise rather than doing the other way. You know, maybe another time do a group, my own group or something that we mm-hmm. could then kind of control. But I think I'd rather do the cruise for the first one and do that.
Get hopefully. A taste of it.
Yeah.
Taste
yeah.
of
that
Cuba.
Give me a feel of the land. Mm-hmm.
Have your Cuban coffee and then get back on the cruise and have that perfect cappuccino.
I may just have to start drinking coffee again.
Well, they have that Cuban coffee truck. Have you guys tried it right on?
Oh, yes.
Is it good?
Well, I mean, our son-in-law has tried it. He said it's great. We haven't tried it yet.
Oh,
but
I've
Cuban
seen
coffee is fabulous. Oh, my
is
goodness.
It? Oh. Yeah. Different than Ancona.
You know, it's rocket fuel.
Oh, is it?
It's yeah,
really
so
strong.
That once you drink that coffee, getting into a conga line and dancing is
that's a
very
secret.
Easy.
I'd like to see you do that, Doreen.
I did.
So between now we know the secret, between the coffee and the rum.
Yeah,
we know why they're dancing and have a good time all the time, right?
Excellent.
Maybe that's the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, great. Thank you. And we're going to talk about, this kind of goes south of the border as well. Why don't you pull that microphone over? And Christine just came back. Christine loves to travel. This was not a cruise this time. This was a trip to Austin and then on down to Mexico City. And I have never been to Mexico City. And so it's kind of interesting to hear, you know, about, and this was on kind of as your own. You booked it on your own. Let me bring that mic down so it's closer to your face there. That's good. So Austin, of course, is a lovely town, a very popular town, right? And you were there for a convention, and you liked Austin?
Yes, and don't forget, it's the capital of Texas.
Yeah, so it's happening.
And very lively music there, and it's not a large city like Dallas. It's, you know, a lot smaller, and we did go for a melanoma symposium, and I really feel I need to share this because I learned so much at that symposium about melanoma. And living, growing up in Hawaii, you know, I never put sunscreen as a child, and my parents never did. This was, you know, back in the 50s, you know, and I was very, very young. And so I just want to just make the public aware that people think, oh, no big deal, you know, skin cancer, they'll just cut it off and I'll be fine. And that certainly is not true. And melanoma is the most common form of cancer in young adults aged 25 to 29. And it is the second most common cancer in adolescents and young adults ages 15 to 29. And 90% of melanoma are thought to be caused by too much exposure to ultraviolet rays. So if you see something on your skin, and I mean, you check everywhere, and the places you cannot check, you have a loved one look on your scalp, under your feet, your back. And if you have any, you know, any like funny feeling, oh, I never had this before, please go to your doctor and have it checked out.
That's a huge problem here in Hawaii.
Yes.
It is.
And there was a panel of patients that have survived and are, you know, still surviving, you know, fighting melanoma, because it will spread to your organs. And people don't realize this.
And there's three types of skin cancers. Melanoma is the most serious, but there's also basal and squamous.
Right,
squamous.
Right.
Yeah, and I've had basal and squamous twice or three times. But, yeah, I've had friends who had had the melanoma can be, yeah, deadly. And you don't necessarily know. And the doctors don't always catch it right, too. So if you really want a second opinion, too, if you really feel that it needs to be rechecked, which was the case of a friend of ours that had it and had it double checked, and at first time said no problem.
Oh, just keep an eye on it.
And it turned out to be
melanoma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it is Melanoma Awareness Month, you know.
Yes.
May is Melanoma Awareness.
Apply sunscreen every 2 hours when you're in the sun. If you're swimming, they said every hour. Mm-hmm. Okay, so. Anyway, this I feel like it's my mission with the knowledge I have. And actually, it was quite interesting. One of the patients there was Troy Aikman, who is a survivor. And he luckily saw it on his shoulder where he could see it and went to his doctor and had it checked out.
So Austin has good music. It's famous for its music.
Yes.
And good food, right?
Great food.
A lot of Mexican food.
Yes, and then,
you were there for Cinco de Mayo.
We were there on Cinco de
Perfect.
Mayo.
Perfect.
And they have these bats that come out in the evening from under this bridge. And, I mean, people are on the river in these boats, and it's, you know, a big to-do and, you know, watching the bats. And, I mean, they've got to be millions of them.
It's, really?
Yeah, it's quite impressive.
Wow, and you weren't afraid of bats.
Well, not if they're not flying at me, I'm fine. So that was the whole purpose of the trip, was to go to this melanoma symposium. Then my neighbor, Shirley, she said, well, then on the way back home, let's stop in Mexico
As
City.
As if it's on the way, right?
It is. It is on the
it
way.
Is, well, kind of.
It's a side trip.
And, you know, so I said, sure, because I'd never been to Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been to Cozumel and, you know, that end. I've been to Acapulco. And so I said, yeah, Mexico City. I need to check that off on my list. So we did spend 3 nights there, and we were very fortunate to stay at the Four Seasons. And it was great location right in the middle of downtown. And we did take a tour. We had a driver, and he took us to Teotihuacan, which are the pyramids. And it's about 50 kilometers, and they're quite impressive. And it wasn't crowded. It was incredible that you would think there'd be, you know, a lot of people, because Mexico City has, I believe, 24 million people. So,
It's huge. Do you see the pollution from traffic? Is it? I've heard it might be polluted. Is it polluted?
Yes, mm-hmm. It is. You do see it. However, it's not as bad as China. I mean, compared to Shanghai or Beijing. And it did not actually bother me as far as, you know, respiratory, you know. So,
Well, the thing to remember, and I'd forgotten, is that it's at a high altitude. You're very high altitude in Mexico City.
Right. I think, 7,500?
That's because I don't think of Mexico City as high altitude, right? And 7,000 feet's high, you know. So that also affects it's not a bowl. You're not down in a valley in a bowl where the pollution can maybe sit. But that's a lot of people. I mean, you're talking huge. 24 million is massive.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And you know, we walked to Chapultepec Park, which was maybe a 10-minute walk from the hotel. And, you know, as you're passing by these large buildings, I mean, there are armed guards. I mean, armed. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you just have to be vigilant, like any place you go, you know where you're going. And like I tell Shirley, let's just keep walking, you know.
Did you ever feel like that? I mean, that you had to keep, that you had to be aware of any danger?
Well, I think any place you have to be aware.
Yeah.
You know, you really do have to be aware.
And you were kind of going out of the city a lot. Two or three times you went outside.
Well, and then we went to see the cathedral for the Virgin of Guadalupe, which that was incredible, you know, the story. And then the original church was built on the hill. And then they had to build additional ones to accommodate all the pilgrims that go there.
Mm-hmm.
So they have mass, I don't know how many times a day, and they probably have, like, believe, five different churches and cathedrals that you can go to.
And it's about an hour outside?
No, that was a little closer.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I thought it was further away. Interesting.
Yeah, it was a little closer, and we did that.
A lot of people there?
Yes, a lot of people.
And did you have your own private tour for that?
Yes, we hired a car and a driver, and so that was the first stop before we went to the
pyramids.
And
you didn't hire through the Four Seasons, you booked your own?
No, well, actually, Shirley booked it through the Four Seasons, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and that was nice.
Yes, it is, because, you know, you feel very safe, and, you know, he spoke perfect English, and, you know, his knowledge of history was incredible, and, you know, they're all... they have to be trained and I guess licensed, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you eat out on the streets or did you only eat at the hotel?
We only ate at the hotel.
Which I think is wise. I mean,
yes.
I've been to Mexico and gotten very sick before. I mean, even when I was trying to be careful, but you never know, you know. So it's good to be, you know, you feel safe at the Four Seasons eating their food, right?
Right. And I must say that I'm very picky about my fish.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
Third generation, you know, grandfather was a fisherman. And I must say, they have this special oven that they built to grill their fish.
Hmm.
And the restaurant is Zanaya. And, you know, on the TV, when you're in your room, well, they had this infomercial or whatever about this grill. And so I said, okay, we'll have to try the fish. They bring the fish in, I think, every other day from the Pacific side. So we had the snapper, and there's two preparations. One was just plain with oil and beer and just salt and grilled. And the other one had a red sauce. And it's a good thing Shirley and I were sitting in a corner, because we asked for chopsticks. And we ate every single part of that fish. I mean, you know, we were like chomping on the bones, kind of like when you have aku bones, you know, and they're fried and crispy, and the cheeks. And I mean, nothing went to waste. I mean, truly.
You ate the eyes.
The eyes, everything, the head.
You didn't.
That's all the best part.
Oh, no.
And so I took a photo of the before, the beautiful presentation, and you know, the hot, you know, the like sauce, it's all made so fresh. They have the green and the red chilies, and it is
salsa.
The salsa, right? It was unbelievable. So I have to say,
good fish.
Yeah, the
fish. That's, and you are pretty critical of your fish.
Yes,
yes,
and,
you are.
And the salt was perfect. The seasoning, and I must say that.
I mean, I have to tell a brief story. I won't mention the name, but there was a restaurant that was getting pretty good reviews, and I recommended it to Christine. And I said, how did you like the restaurant? She says, I ordered fish, and they did not have chopsticks. Can you imagine? They didn't have chopsticks. Yeah. How can you have a restaurant that will give you fish without chopsticks? I'm sorry.
And this is on Maui.
So I never, but the restaurant didn't survive, by the way. It's no longer there because of no chopsticks.
Well, and then also I just wanted to say another thing, too. So the morning of our tour, you know, to go out, we didn't have much time for breakfast. So we went to the restaurant and, you know, they have the breakfast buffet and we didn't have time for that. So we said, you know, we looked at the menu. We said, okay, we'll just want to have their coconut muesli, you know, just something light. And so we sat down, we said, you know, we're in a rush, you know, we have a car coming, so we just gonna have the coconut muesli. How is it? Well, of course they brought a little sample of the coconut muesli because it's off the breakfast buffet. And we said, okay, perfect, we'll have two of these. Well, most restaurants would take the muesli that's already mixed in the big bowl and put it in a smaller bowl and serve it to you. So we're sitting there, we're like, why is it, you know, we don't have our muesli yet, we're waiting. Well, they made it fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't sitting there. It was absolutely fabulous. So, so we enjoyed our muesli and then we said, oh, okay, thank you so much. You know, we need to go. And they said, wait. Oh, I said, okay. And they brought us each a bag with two bottles of water and an apple and a pear. And they said, for our trip.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how kind is
nice.
That?
Yeah. Well, Four Seasons is very good service, and they're known for that. And it's nice to know that you can have that when you're in a city you don't know, and it's your first time in a city where that's available, you know.
Yeah, one thing was a surprise, because Shirley had been there before. The hotel does not exchange U.S. dollars pesos.
Wow.
It's something, I guess there's some kind of new law, or I'm not sure if you're aware of this, Kathy.
I am not.
That they are not allowed.
Wow.
So luckily, Shirley had some pesos from her previous trip.
You would have had to otherwise go to a bank.
You have to go to Cambio. Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the wall.
Yeah, it could be. So well. and then there's a fee for the exchange. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So luckily, we didn't have to. However, you know, it was quite shocking because if you...
Yeah, you assume that you can at the hotel.
Always assume that at the
hotel. In fact, I don't think I've ever been in a hotel where you can't exchange U.S. dollars.
And so they said this is a new law or rule that they must follow. They are not allowed.
Well, if you've been in on a Sunday and you didn't have pesos, you could be in trouble because it may have been hard to find a place to exchange.
Well, I mean,
that's good for people to know.
Yeah, within the hotel, you're okay. Yeah. But, you know, if you're going out.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, did you walk around the streets and from the hotel and wander around?
To Chapultepec Park, and we went to the castle there and the museum. And we logged, 5-point-something miles, according to Shirley's Fitbit, you know. I mean, it was perfect day, you know, kind of overcast. And we did habla español, and, you know, it was muy bien.
So you would rate it on a trip for people to go. Would it be like a 7, 8? What would you say? It's a good trip to take?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's every part of Mexico is different.
Every part of Maui is different.
Right.
I mean, this is one thing people forget, that you're in one area, you're there for a day or two, another place, another area, you know, could be totally different. Even in Cuba, the East Coast and West Coast, very different. So, and that's, I think also I'm getting from what you're saying that it is nice to have a hotel that is, if you're, especially you're two women alone, it's nice to have a hotel you can trust that you can get good information, good service from, that you feel safe in, you know. And you of course are going to pay more to Four Seasons than you would some other places, but I think that sometimes it's worth it. Wouldn't you mm-hmm. recommend, and when you're going to travel to a place you don't know, to stay at a nice hotel?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, so I was watching the Today Show, and well, they gave this fact right before our trip. So they list countries, and there's a rating of how many Americans were killed, you know. No, truly, in you know, different countries. So, well, Mexico was number one.
Ooh, really?
Yes, with over 700.
What?
Yes, Americans being killed. Now
that's a big number.
It is. And I was concerned. I was thinking more of Colombia because, mm-hmm. you know, my son Garrett's going to be going to Colombia in 2 weeks, mm-hmm. you know, to Medellin. So, you know, they say Colombia is dangerous. Well, Colombia was number 10 on the list. And here we're going to Mexico. I say, Shirley. She goes, I know. I said, well, it's like anywhere else, you know. Mm-hmm. You just have to be vigilant. And I would certainly not go out and walk at night. Certainly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, you just use your common sense.
Okay, you have to ask a question. Here you are. You're an American. Everything's going on with the wall and Trump. Did people bring up this whole issue with you when you went there? Was it a topic?
Cindy?
Yes.
Shirley and I walked out of the airport because we just did Carry-On. You'd be really proud of us one week.
Yeah.
And then, so we had a driver, so he had, you know, our name on a sign, and we said, oh, there's Shirley, there's a name, okay, let's go. So he's grabbing our carry-on, and then, of course, you know, you have to walk to his car. It was not even 5 minutes, and Trump was mentioned.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's just put it that way, Cindy. Yeah. Okay, so they're very aware.
Interesting yes. story about Trump. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Gary Smith, mm-hmm. And I'd say
that's not the Gary Smith with five pumps. No, this is the Gary Smith. Andrea Gary
yeah.
Smith.
Yeah. And I can safely say we're not Trump fans.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yes.
He said, and they just got back from Egypt. He said they love Trump in Egypt.
Well, he was there. He entertained mm-hmm. the head of the
And it's because if Clinton. Hillary got in, that the Muslim Brotherhood would overrun the whole country.
Wow, interesting. Isn't that that's very interesting to hear. Yeah, so the vested interest, and it explains why they were welcomed, and they welcomed the...
Because I don't know what he's... But I thought that was kind of interesting.
However, then there was that bombing that happened, too. So, you know, of the Catholic, the Coptic Church.
Yes.
Which is very interesting. We're going to have next week Andrea and Gary and Sue Gill and her husband, who did this lovely trip to Egypt. And because, again, it brings up, do you go on trips? Do you stop because you're afraid? And obviously you didn't. And,
No.
And it's never stopped Andrea and Gary. And they say, you know, it's a time. And we air Peter Greenberg. And definitely Peter says that's the best time to go is when other people aren't going, because that's when you get the best service. So, but it's been fascinating. I thank you so much, Steve and Doreen and Christine. This is the kind of show where I just love. And you can contact Kathy at Captivating Journeys at 244-1414, and for help doing any of these kind of trips, whether it's Mexico or going on this cruise that Oceana is going to be doing, or the Paul Gauguin cruises. So thank you so much for listening, and a big aloha.